Hello, and welcome to the debut episode of Frequencies. My name is Michael J. Johnson, and I'm the host of this podcast from my home studio in Boston, Massachusetts. I am a musician, composer, producer, engineer, and I teach at several colleges here in Boston. I'm very interested in, of course, music, as well as many other aspects of popular culture, and I hope to talk about all of that in this podcast. So I'm a little late to the game of podcasting. It's something I've been thinking about doing for a while, and I kept putting it off. I've been listening to podcasts since almost when they started. I actually got drawn into listening to internet radio because a comic that I was a fan of started working at a radio company called Air America Radio. That guy's name was Mark Maron, and I followed him ever since then through all of his different podcasting ventures. You know, that was probably somewhere around 2004 or something like that. So I've been interested in podcasts for a long time. I listen to a lot of different types of podcasts. One thing that has bothered me a little bit about podcasts is they seem to be very segmented. You have people like Maron who do mostly interviews, and then other podcasts are often just very narrow subjects. I'm interested in a lot more than that. I would much rather listen to a couple hours on a variety of subjects than a couple hours just on one specific subject. And I'm hoping that there are other people out there who feel the same way I do. So in this podcast, as I said, I'll be talking about a wide range of topics that interest me: pop culture news and opinions, TV, film, comics, other podcasts. Music, of course, since I'm a musician, I'll probably talk about some music industry types of things and even some geeky pro audio stuff from time to time. And also very interested in tech, so I'll be talking about different aspects of that. I will occasionally have guests and interviews. I know that listening to one person rant all the time could get boring after a while, so I'll try to bring in some special guests as much as I can. And one thing I don't really know anything about, nor do I talk about, is sports. You can find my website at michaeljjohnsonmusic.com, and there you can leave a comment. Also, I know that iTunes reviews help to get a podcast out there, so not that I'm really expecting a huge audience, but if you like this and you think about it, maybe give me a shout out on iTunes. You can find me on Twitter at Mike J. Johnson, M-I-K-E J. Johnson. My SoundCloud is soundcloud.com/Michael J. Johnson. And make sure you spell Michael A-E-L. By the way, I call myself Michael J. Johnson because there is an artist named Michael Johnson who had a couple hits back in the late 70s and the early 80s. And I get confused with him quite a bit. So today's show, I'm going to talk about some TV shows I'm watching this summer. I'm going to say a little bit about the huge Marvel crossover event that's going on in the comics right now, The Secret Wars. I'm going to talk for a couple minutes about Twitter. I'm going to talk about a couple of recent and upcoming music releases, tiny bit of movie news, and then the last thing I'm going to talk about is Ant-Man, the movie. And that review will contain some spoilers. So if you haven't seen Ant-Man yet, you should go see it. I think it's a good movie. I give it definitely a thumbs up. But if you haven't seen it yet and you don't want to be spoiled, I'll let you know before I discuss that, and you can turn it off and wait until you go see the movie. So starting with TV, as a sci-fi nerd, I've been actually pretty happy there's a lot of sci-fi on television lately. And there's been actually some interesting new shows that have come out this summer. My favorite is probably Mr. Robot. And if you haven't checked that out yet, it's a hacker drama, but it's very smart. You know, most of the time, Hollywood gets these things wrong. And I don't feel like these guys are getting things wrong. In fact, I've heard an interview with the showrunner, and he says they've tried very hard to make sure they get things right. So you're not going to see any lame CGI graphics or anything like that, but it's still a very compelling story. Interesting because Christian Slater is in it. Haven't seen him in a while. That's on USA. Another one is called Humans. It's a futuristic thing in a society where they have robots They call them synths. They are serving humanity. And I won't say much beyond that because I don't want to spoil it for you, but it's very interesting. The Whisperers stars Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes. And then two new sci-fi series, Killjoys and Dark Matter. And I'm finding those pretty interesting. They're a little different. I'm just glad to see that the Sci-Fi Channel is back to actually doing sci-fi. And then another show I've been watching that isn't necessarily sci-fi, but a great show. If you haven't seen it, you really should check it out. And that's Halt and Catch Fire, starring Lee Pace. Great story of the personal computer boom in the 80s, but instead of being set in Silicon Valley, it's actually set where there was a smaller movement in Texas. Very interesting show, and I think it's gotten even better in its second season. A couple shows I also want to talk about, comic book shows, specifically the stuff that's been going on at Netflix. If you haven't seen Daredevil yet on Netflix, you need to stop everything and watch all 13 episodes of Daredevil. Now, it's very violent. It's not a family-friendly Marvel show. It's definitely worth seeing. I know a lot of people were hesitant to see it because of the movie. I'll just tell you, it is nothing like the movie. It's about 100 times better. You know, especially Vincent D'Onofrio as Wilson Fisk, aka the Kingpin, is just amazing. But, you know, a lot of the actors in this are really good. It's already been picked up for a season 2, and they have cast Jon Bernthal from The Walking Dead as the Punisher for season 2. The next Netflix Marvel series, though, that's going to be coming out in the fall is Jessica Jones. And Jessica Jones is not a well-known Marvel character at all. She is from what's known as the Marvel Max line, which was their adult imprint. The story is basically she is a former superhero, and she got out of the business mostly because of a very traumatic incident while she was a superhero, and so she becomes a private eye. This one stars Kristen Ritter, which you may know from a number of things. She was the bee in Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 43, and she was also in some of my other favorite shows. She had a part in Veronica Mars, for instance. She was in Breaking Bad. So I'm kind of interested in seeing her as this more action-oriented thing, which I don't really think she's done before. Also, David Tennant of Doctor Who fame is playing the Purple Man, which is one of her nemeses. The guy who did the original series, Brian Michael Bendis, has said really good things about it, which to me is a positive. Since Netflix has now said that their Marvel shows are going to be out every 6 months or so, everyone's assuming that this is probably going to be out in October, even though there hasn't been an official release date yet. As someone who grew up reading comic books, this is like heaven for me. Finally, I'm seeing a lot of my favorite characters on the big screen and the small screen in a way I never thought would happen. So on to the comic things. I want to talk just for a minute about the Secret Wars event. If you haven't been reading Marvel Comics for a while, here's kind of what's going on. They have ended the Marvel Universe as we know it. Over the last few months in the books, they had all these incursions where all these parallel universes kept colliding with other parallel universes, and finally they all died, and we got one world that's called Battle World. It's a very large planet with different areas that are made up of large events or alternate universe events that have happened throughout Marvel history. So you have a Spider-Verse, and you have a Future Imperfect, which is a story about Future Hulk, and you have an area that's Age of Apocalypse, and so on. Supposedly, this is all going to end and we're going to be back to a normal Marvel Universe, but it will no longer be called the 616. At least one of the characters from the Ultimate Universe, Miles Morales, the Ultimate version of Spider-Man, will now be in the mainstream Marvel Universe. The new Avengers team will be a younger team. Miles Morales will be part of it, and it will generally be more of a diverse group. It looks like they're actually going to keep the female Thor. Interested to see how this all kind of works out. This is the first time that DC's done this several times. It's the first time Marvel's ever really done something like this where they're not calling it a reboot, but it essentially is. Next subject, Twitter. So I know not everybody uses Twitter. In fact, I know not a whole lot of people use Twitter. They have a much smaller base than Facebook. I think it's a very important network. The major media outlets all look to Twitter. It's a great place to find breaking news and that sort of thing. And just the immediacy of how Twitter works is one of the advantages. Apparently, their latest earnings call was not very positive, and I think they're thinking a lot about rebranding and things like that. The fear for me is that they will think, oh, well, we just have to be more like Facebook, and we don't really need that. We already have a Facebook. So I hope that they will continue to embrace the things that make Twitter what it is. Okay, on to music. A recent release, seminal Swedish hardcore band Refused, which broke up way back in 1998 after they made their last full-length album, The Shape of Punk to Come, which was, in my opinion, a masterpiece of the late 90s. How eclectic it was, and really, I think, a groundbreaking thing. Called The Shape of Punk to Come. Now, punk didn't really go that way, probably partly because they broke up. Refused reunited back a couple of years ago, I think 2012, to do a concert. And now, a couple of weeks ago, they just came out with their first album since reuniting called Freedom. Once again, very eclectic, just like Shape of Punk to Come. Some great songs on there. The lead singer is sometimes actually singing, not just screaming. So even if you're not really into hardcore punk, this might be something that would interest you. But you definitely have to be into rock and roll to like it. Also, I'm kind of excited because August 7th, Dr. Dre is going to finally release his first album in 16 years. It's going to be called Compton, a Soundtrack. It's inspired by the biopic Straight Outta Compton. If you may know, he was working for many years on an album that was going to be called Detox, but he recently came out and said that he just abandoned that. He said it just never was quite what he wanted, so he just gave up on it. So August 7th is when he's releasing it. Also, and this is not a surprise since he's a major stakeholder, but he's apparently releasing exclusively on iTunes and Apple Music. All right, so movies, and I will get to Ant-Man in a minute, but one other movie I want to talk about that recently came out that you got to see if you get a chance is Love and Mercy. It's a biopic about Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Especially if you've seen the Wrecking Crew documentary, it'll be really interesting because the Wrecking Crew were the musicians who played on Pet Sounds, and they actually dramatized some of the Pet Sounds sessions, which to me was one of the most interesting parts of this. They found actors who really looked like these Wrecking Crew people. John Cusack as the older Brian Wilson, you know, he doesn't look quite as much like him, but I still think he does a great job. All right, so finally, we're at the point where if you have not seen Ant-Man, you might want to stop now because I'm going to get into spoiler territory here. Okay, so Ant-Man, the last Phase 2 Marvel movie starring Paul Rudd, Evangeline Lilly, Michael Douglas, and a few other people, including Michael Peña, who kind of steals the show. This is a heist movie, so as many of the Marvel movies have been lately, they try to reach beyond just the superhero genre and pull in something from another genre. And so this very much has sort of an Ocean's 11 feel to it in a way. A lot of humor. I've never been a huge Paul Rudd fan, but I just think he's awesome in this. He's the perfect person. You know, he gets enough of that humor. He can be serious, but he can clown around. And as I said, Michael Peña sort of steals the show. His portrayal of Scott Lang's jailhouse buddy is just really funny and really works. To me, the only downside is the villain. It's not really Corey Stoll's fault. I think he does a fine job. It's just not the most interesting villain, I don't think. One thing I want to mention, my version of Ant-Man was Hank Pym, who's played by Michael Douglas in this film. The history of that character, you start out with Ant-Man as a solo hero, and his wife is killed, and that's kind of how he becomes Ant-Man. He's just a scientist. He meets Janet Van Dyne. At some point, she finds out his secret, and she becomes the Wasp. They are actually founding members of the Avengers. So the original Avengers, Ant-Man, the Wasp, Hulk, Thor, Iron Man. A few issues into the Avengers, they actually find Captain America. So it's always been a little bit interesting that Hank Pym has been nowhere to be seen in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, something else about Ant-Man is he kept changing his character. So he was Ant-Man for a little while. Over the years, he became Giant Man and Goliath, and he actually, for a long time, was Yellow Jacket, which Yellow Jacket is the villain in this story, but for a long time, that's who Hank Pym was. Now, there have been a few other things that happened. Clint Barton, who was Hawkeye, became Goliath for a little while. He grabbed some of Hank Pym's Pym Particle growth serum because he got sick of running out of arrows. Now, the other thing that you need to understand about Hank Pym in the comics is Hank Pym created Ultron. And this is something that he is tormented by for most of his life. He's sort of reluctant to be a hero, I think partly because of that. In the early 80s, they had a storyline where he actually hits Janet, and as a result, he gets kicked out of the Avengers, and she divorces him. This guy, Scott Lang, later becomes the second Ant-Man because he steals Ant-Man's costume to save his daughter, Cassie. Pym finds out and says, why don't you keep the costume? So that's, sort of an important backstory that I think is interesting. Getting back to the movie, though, one thing I really liked about this movie was there's a couple things in it that happen that really seem like classic Marvel comics. The big one is the appearance of the Falcon. Now, in the early Marvel comics, this would always happen, where the heroes would meet another hero that they'd never met before. There would be some misunderstanding, and they would fight. And that's totally what this was. This is really, I think, the first time we've really seen this. I guess we kind of saw this at the beginning of the Avengers movie, too. But this whole movie just really felt like a Marvel comic to me. Another thing that happened in there was when he shrinks down to subatomic and goes into the quantum realm. And I've heard a lot of people talking about this and making a connection to Doctor Strange. But really, this is something that came from the early Jack Kirby, Stan Lee Fantastic Four comics. Reed Richards was experimenting with shrinking technology, and he went into the quantum realm and into basically a subatomic world. So this really goes way back to there. I'm a little bit doubtful that this will have much of an impact on what happens in Doctor Strange, because that's an alternate universe thing when he goes into other dimensions, not the subatomic realm. But we'll see. I could be wrong. Also, the other thing that's been talked about a lot with this film is the controversy with the fact that Edgar Wright, director of Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz and a lot of other great movies, was the original guy who was developing this movie, and he left under a bit of a cloud, and the current director, Peyton Reed, took over. My understanding now is that his departure had a lot to do with the fact that he wanted this to be completely standalone, and they wanted a little more connection to the Marvel Universe. So my sense is that if Edgar Wright had continued all of those things that I just talked about, how it felt like a Marvel comic with the Falcon crossover and stuff like that, some of that stuff might not have even been in there. Anyway, as I said, thumbs up on Ant-Man. I think it's one of the better films. It's definitely, in my mind, above the Hulk movie and Iron Man 2 and a couple others. I think it fits in pretty well in the universe. So that's all for this first episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And once again, you can leave a comment, maybe go to iTunes and give me a hopefully favorable review. See you again next time. Thanks.